Saturday AM Live with Vance Rogers.
Well, it's come that time again, 7 o'clock Saturday morning, and I want to thank everybody for joining us on another fantastic edition of Saturday AM Live, and this is Vance Rogers. I think the last few weeks I forgot to tell everybody who this voice was, but I think by now everybody should know. I'm hoping anyways, because, I mean, you know it's not Bill Gates. Former President Clinton. The voices don't even sound anywhere near. And it, unlike a lot of people believe, it's not Matthew Broderick. He would not be hosting this call. I've been accused of sounding like him, or he sounds like me. I'm not sure which. I'll go with the latter. But welcome again, everybody, and I hope you have pen and paper handy or something else. If you're a grandparent or a parent, you know, grab some crayons or, you know, some butcher paper or something. I think you're going to want to jot some notes down because our guest this morning, Maggie McKee, is a 17-year veteran of NECN. She is a former educator of more than four decades, right, Maggie?
Yes, counting my time in NECN, that's correct.
Okay. So it's been a long time. So we are the students, the pupils, and the mentor, the teacher, the professor has arrived. So put on your education caps. And I say that jokingly, but at the same time, I'm confident that Maggie's going to share a few nuggets with us this morning that you're going to want to, you know, scribble down. You may not take a half a page or three quarters of a page of notes like I usually do, but anyhow, on that note, Maggie, thank you for being with us this morning. I know 7 a.m. on the West Coast is kind of a trying time, but hey, it works, and you're up, and we can always squeeze in a nap later today. I fully intend to do that. Let's go back to the beginning. You know, what year were you born? We don't care so much about that. Maggie, what was life like before NECN for you? And why did you want to become a teacher?
Wow, that's a big question, Vance. I don't know how many people on the call grew up on a farm, but I did and learned, you know, all kinds of wonderful things about teamwork and every day was an education on the farm because things were always changing. And when I went to school, I really didn't know what I wanted to do with that. I went to university, got a degree in languages, and decided that teaching would be a great thing to do, especially, you know, to raise a family. So I pursued that career, and I absolutely loved the concept of teaching because, to me, it was creating an environment for people to learn. And I quickly found out that the education system doesn't necessarily follow the same vision that I do in terms of what education is about. It seems to be more about curriculum and getting people through information. So I carried on. I taught many, many subjects over the 27 years I was in the formal education area. I taught high school and post-secondary. My last 13 years were at a college. And you know, I enjoyed every moment in the classroom, but I must say that the politics were starting to wear me down, and I'd had a chronic back problem since I was a teenager that was really wearing me down because it was really sapping my energy to be on. You know, when you're a teacher and you care about your students, you really want to do the best. So every day I would go into the classroom and, kind of soldier on with my best face. And paid the price for that by the time, you know, the end of the day came around. And I had succumbed to surgery, let's say. Yeah, finally, from my doctor's advice, I did have back surgery, major back surgery, and I have steel rods the entire length of my back. And I thought that was going to be the solution because this was back in, 1979, I had that surgery, and I was much more, you know, a believer in the medical system at that time. Not that I don't believe in modern medicine, don't get me wrong, there are so many great applications for it. But what I found was it wasn't the solution. I still hurt. And I continued for the next 15 years after that surgery, not only hurting, but very, very stiff from this surgery and having been in a body cast for 14 months. And it was my best friend who had been introduced to NECN at the hospital where she worked, and it resolved a hip and back problem that she couldn't resolve herself or through the medical system for 8 years. And when the Nikan solution was applied in her life, she was 80% better in a week.
Wow.
So she, I lived 500 miles north of Vancouver at that time, and she called me and said, I really believe I found something that is going to help with your back situation. So
now, Maggie, and not to cut you off, but definitely to interrupt you, because I know there's a lot of people in North America. I know statistically in America alone, in the United States, it's over 80% of us as adults suffer from some sort of back ailment. And yet we, as you use the word, we soldier through day in and day out just thinking, hey, this is par for the course, I can make it. And then when you look for a remedy, and nobody wants to go under the knife. I don't think, if we're honest with ourselves, nobody wants to go that route. But when it comes to that, we really do hope and trust that that's going to do it. And for you, it didn't. And I know I'm partial to this because I watched my father go through it. And he was 6 years prior to you. His was in 73, I believe, where he went through major back surgery. What was it that, when you say you soldiered through it, I don't want to get into gory details, but really, how bad was it?
How bad was it? Well, you know, it's a dim memory now, thank goodness, Vance. But what I found was that, you know, there was a constant ache there, a constant discomfort, and it restricted a lot of the things that I like to do. It certainly restricted my ability to enjoy my children. When my children were small, it was extremely painful to pick them up. And of course, when you know, and I had 10-pound babies, so I didn't start off with any little weaklings, right? So, you know, just to get them through the day and get me through the day was agonizing. And I refused to take medication. I'm a farmer. I don't do that. I chose to, do things that I could find, like massage and reflexology and things like that gave me some temporary relief.
Okay.
But I certainly was not going to numb my mind with drugs that helped my body feel better. I mean, every once in a while I would take something, but I never took a prescription medication, even though the doctor thought that would be a good idea.
Okay. So, and again, you're reminiscing or reminding me of exactly what my father did, because he just refused to go that route. But you also, when you refuse to go that route, you deal with the agony, or you deal with the suffering of that. And so when you heard that maybe from a friend 500 miles away, what went through your mind? Were you immediately, okay, I'm going to just jump on board?
Pretty much, you know, because I had been doing a lot of research. I had actually invested thousands of dollars, like a lot of people do, looking for ways to deal with things naturally. And I had invested $5,000 in a pulse magnetic machine back in the day. And it did give me temporary relief. It was complicated. It took up a lot of room, and it was a pain to set it up and use it. But when I did use it, I did get some temporary relief. So I think she might have said the word magnet in our initial conversation. I'm not sure, but I just was so excited to find something that might work and to visit my friend anyway.
Okay. So it was more of a pilgrimage and hey, what have I got to lose? Because what I did didn't work, and that was several years ago. So you ventured on down south, and I don't know if you use that terminology in British Columbia or not, but and the reason I'm asking these questions is because did she describe it on the phone? Did she go into great detail? This is before the internet, really, and so she couldn't have emailed you anything. What were your thoughts when you saw these solutions that Nikan has to offer?
Well, it was, you know, we actually did a skit on this at a Nikan event years later, my friend and I, because she basically gave me the fire hose, you know, treatment. Every product and every demonstration was done, I'm sure, within 30 minutes. It was like, here, do this, here, do that, here, that. And I was like, holy cow, slow down here. And, you know, she gave me the rollout, which didn't feel very good because I had these steel rods in my back, and, you know, my back was very sensitive, but she was so excited. And I thought, wow, this is really, really interesting. Just, can I, you know, I'm on a trip here. I'm going to Africa tomorrow. Can you please just, you know, slow down. But what was a real clincher for me was she put me to sleep on a demo pad. the rollout kit.
Sure.
And, you know, usually I don't like to wake up until I'm done sleeping, right? And that, for me, is usually 7:30, 8 o'clock. And so I woke up the next morning at 6, and I thought, oh, this is, maybe I'm just excited, I can read a bit and go back to sleep. And she'd also given me John Callen's book, Being the Best You Can Be at MLM. So I started reading that. I finished the entire book. I was still awake. And I traveled all that day, and it was an excruciating trip for me because any kind of sitting was difficult. She gave me a pair of insoles and some Magboys and sent me off to Africa. So those products made a huge difference in my trip, not just on the plane, but on safari and everything. It just, I couldn't believe that I had minimized the agony quite a bit with these, and that was just two little products. So, and then I was sitting outside our little Quonset hut one night, and I had the Magboys in my hand, and this fellow went by and he says, and this is, don't forget, this is 1995. He said, oh, those are Magboys. And I looked at him and I thought, how does he know in the middle of Africa that these are Magboys, right? It's just one of those divine, you know, signs, I guess. And so he knew a little bit about Niken and told me what he knew, and I knew that these magic balls were really helping me. So when I got back, I was locked in, Vance, and just started to, and again, because I'm a researcher, I did everything I could to see how solid this was, and everything lined up beautifully.
Well, and I think that's where we are today as a culture, in that when the student is ready, the master or the professor will appear, and that we have these wonderful tools at our fingertips called Google or called the Internet, and that we can find out all kinds of information within a matter of seconds to support a hunch or a belief, and if I could use that word, because you were experiencing something that was not like what you had experienced previously. And I'm fascinated, but I don't want to go into it, this major investment that you did previously on, what did you call it, the big magnetic machine that...
Yeah, it was a pulse magnetic machine that had been developed by a fellow in Montreal, Canada here. And, it was complicated. Like I said, it had rings and pads and dials, and you had to plug it in, and, yeah.
So nothing like the simplicity of the solutions that Niken has literally brought, using the same technology, magnets, you know, because the Earth is a magnet. We have all these solutions out there in nature, and Niken's just kind of brought them to the surface. And that's why I had asked the question of, you know, what were your thoughts were, you know, and then I love the fact that we do that. We still do that. And even though she did fire hose you, and we still do that today, when people, when we get excited and we just can't control it, where some of us are getting better at it, but it's hard when you find a solution that really tangibly works for you and you want to give, pass on that truth to other people. What was it for you at that point, Maggie, that you come back from Africa and you're hooked because you've flying, and I've been to Africa numerous times, and it's not... As glorious as the trip is, and I know you will agree with this, getting from point A to point B, being that long, being at that elevation for that amount of time, it's hard on the body, and especially with someone with a back condition. When you got back, what was going through your mind? I mean, did I discover the next, you know, best kept secret on the planet, or what were you thinking?
I had a lot of things going through my mind. I just want to back up to the initial presentation as well, because what my friend did is she didn't just show me the products, which were marvelous, obviously. And I loved the concept that they were simple to incorporate into my life. I was thinking about the machine sitting at home gathering dust, right? And she also said to me, wouldn't it be wonderful, and this is something that still sticks with me, wouldn't it be wonderful to work together? She said, you live 500 miles away from here. Your two sons are at university down here. I know you love coming to Vancouver. You could help a lot of people up in Prince George, and you could, you know, fly down here when you want, and it would all be a business expense. Well, you know, she really hit it there, because as a educator, I had no write-off from my income tax. In Canada, we can't even write off our mortgage. So I'm Scottish and Irish, so that really rang a bell to be able to have a business from home that was of this caliber, that I could have the tax benefits, the travel benefits, the friendship benefits, the health benefits, the benefit of being able to help other people. And it just, my mind just kept getting so excited about the possibilities of what this could mean for people. And I lived in a logging town where I knew that a lot of people were nervously employed and hurting.
Mm-hmm.
So it just was a natural fit for my personality and my, you know, my desire, my mission on this planet to make a difference, to take something as exciting and unique as this back to where I was living.
Well, and you said something about the benefits of having a home-based business, and the laws and the tax code is different in Canada than it is in the U.S., and it's different in every country. My brother said something to me this week that was kind of an aha that I never realized, but he's an avid scoutmaster, okay? He's got three boys, so my nephew's 14 and a half, 15, and Garrett's 13 now. And so they've all come up through scouts, and he said, you know, I made a trip to, you know, here the other day, and he said, because it was a scout venture, I could write off my mileage. He said, the only problem is, it's only 15 cents a mile,
mm-hmm.
versus business-related, it's 55 cents a mile.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it's a big difference at $4 a gallon for fuel. And, you know, that, it was one of those things that it's just another gentle reminder that when you have an opportunity like Nikan, that this is a major way to put some of that money back into our pockets every single month.
Yes, that's right. And you only pay $5 a gallon for fuel?
Well, $4 right now.
Oh, my goodness. That's I'm coming down to the States.
Oh, yeah. We don't know how blessed we are here in the U.S. when it comes to only $4. Yeah, and I like that word only that you use there. So, Getting back on track, did you immediately launch your business when she said that to you? Wouldn't it be wonderful to work together? I mean, did you grab hold of that and run with it?
Pretty much. I mean, I did that, and I had to wait for the approval of the president of the college to start my business because he had to determine that it wasn't a conflict of interest. So it was February 2nd, so it took a month for that to go through the channels of the hierarchy. And it was really interesting. I just got that signed piece of paper, and the next day we went on strike. Can you imagine? I just invested $5,000. We went on strike, and we were on strike, and it was 40 below zero most days, and we were on strike for 6 weeks. So
wow.
I had a few nervous moments.
Okay. Okay, and when you say 40 below zero, just to educate the rest of us listening right now, you're out walking a picket line in 40 below zero, or do you guys stay in your cars, or what?
Both. You know, we had time in, time out kind of thing.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
And
okay.
One thing about Celsius and Fahrenheit, at least 40 below, they're both the same.
It's just really, really cold.
Yeah, very cold.
So you're on strike, so your income is dwindling rapidly, and you just invested a major investment into these solutions that you, I mean, obviously you're going to hope that something comes of it. What happened?
Well, you know, it was every challenge has an opportunity within it. So because I was with my colleagues, instead of in the classroom, I had a chance to do all kinds of fun MagStep demos and so on with people, and a lot of people laughed. They thought magnets were, in those days, you know, things that you held your kids' artwork on the fridge with, and that they didn't have any health benefit. But word started to spread. You know, I'd have people who'd buy something and then, you know, call me and say, oh, gosh, you know, I'm able to play tennis again or whatever. So it started to become less of a ridiculing thing for people. And what really helped for me was my colleague that I worked closely with saw the benefit of the five pillars of health, and she invested in what was then called the Demo Pack Career Pack. And I did not know, because she hadn't told anybody outside of her immediate family at that point, that she had been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And I noticed that she wasn't her usual self. I'd known her for many, many years. But I didn't know the inside story, because like me, she was a good soldier on and do what you can. And what happened for her was all of her symptoms, her lack of balance, her inability to get through the day without having to rest all the time and not being able to go upstairs, and all of those things, and the fear that she had that her future was slipping away from her, all of that disappeared, Vance, and she has never had a symptom since then. And I mean, she did have one incident where she was afraid that maybe she was sliding back because she was overtired, and, you know, she had that moment of, oh, my God, is this the disease? And it wasn't. It was just fatigue. But, you know, to have that kind of feeling when you've offered something to someone that you believe totally in, not even knowing their situation, but just trusting the process and trusting these amazing energies, to have that kind of result, what a lock-in. I just, you know, I was absolutely amazed because I didn't know. You know, I didn't know what these products were capable of. I knew they were helping me and a few other people, but I had no idea of the ability of the body to heal itself to that extent.
Well, and that's where the fun part really becomes, because it takes it out of our experience, as great of an experience. I'm not diminishing your experience, and I would never diminish my own experience, but when it becomes about somebody else, isn't that the truest definition of hope, is helping other people experience or helping other people endeavor? I mean, pick a word for the, you know, that starts with the letter E, but it's really about helping other people. And if we can be the conduit, the vessel of that, I mean, that really solidifies, and obviously it did for you, that, wow, what have we really truly got our hands on here? And so, if I'm hearing you correctly, all you really did, and not to diminish that at all, but all you did was just kind of run and have some fun and keep helping people, and it went from there. Was there a major transition from going from, you know, school teacher to network marketer, or did it just kind of evolve?
Well, both. You know, one of my biggest challenges is I had never been in network marketing before. I didn't really understand it, but I'm a good student, so I did have, I can't remember whose manual it was, you know, but the 10 steps to success kind of thing, and, you know, I made my 100 list, and you know, I made a lot of mistakes. I called people. I'm sure I really, you know, offended some people because I think I was in a salesy kind of mode at that time, because I didn't realize that that's not what this is about. But, you know, I'm a quick learner too. So getting that feedback, I thought, well, I need to adjust my sales here. So I just continued to do the best I could do, you know, find out how I could help people, and I got better and better at being a consultant rather than a salesperson. You know, I started to really listen to people, and I started to learn that our job is not to convince anybody. Our job is not to sell this concept or this idea to anyone, but to have conversations with people in a way that helps them to identify what they're looking for, so that we can, if possible, be a response, a solution for them.
Okay.
And that was very, you know, that transition took time, and I'm glad I don't give up easily, because I think I had a lot of, you know, opposition from, you know, in a logging town in 1995, and, you know, being a college professor and so on. It was like, this is a big leap for me, so I read everything I could get my hands on and just continued to be a student.
And so for your journey for the last 17 years, now full-time Niken, member of the President's Club, you've had a lot of fun. And I know you shared several stories a few weeks ago when we were up in Seattle together about the life of a grandma. But you're not quite the traditional grandma that most people would think of, you know, Little Red Riding Hood's grandma of baking treats and, you know, doing the crafty things. You really literally live life on the edge, and you've done some things in the last few years, some excursions. I mean, even going to Africa when you started this whole journey, that's quite a big deal. And I'm not saying that people of any age cannot travel. I mean, shoot, I spent all yesterday on the slopes, and it was nothing, and I was telling my daughters, as we were riding up the chairlift at different times, I said, you know, I just talked to Dr. Ted Lehman, who's 86 years young, and he was skiing up here yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And they went, what?
Mm-hmm.
But why do we have to slow down? Why should we? Whether it's the activities we want to do physically, I mean, there is within reason. I mean, I'm sure I'm a little slower this morning than I was 20 years ago, or 30 years ago as a teenager skiing. But I'm curious, Maggie, that for you in this stage of your life, what are the things that are different from the life of a professor or a teacher to now being a network marketer? I mean, I know there's a zillion and one different things that are different, but what are the big ones for you? Because we can hear it in your voice, the rewarding aspects. There's no drudgery about what you're doing with Nikan and sharing this new solution. What are the big things that make life fun for Maggie?
That's a really great topic. I just want to back up a little bit to how life was when I started this, in addition to where I lived and so on. I was a full-time college professor. I was the curriculum developer, the hirer, and so on. And I was a full-time post-grad student in another province. And I was a volunteer. I was a hospice volunteer and so on. So when people say, I don't have the time, that doesn't land very well with me. And because when you have the passion, the time creates itself. And what I found and what I say to my team is, you know, go out and live your life to the fullest, which I was doing. And in those endeavors, in those activities, be your best self, and you will attract people to you, and you'll have those conversations. So you build this business in the cracks of time that you have, and eventually that can expand, which it certainly did for me, because within 3 years, I was making enough money to be able to walk away from that tenured position, which people thought I was crazy to do, but to walk away into freedom. And that's the biggest difference for me. I now control my time completely. I was able to visit my mom when she was in her last years. 1 year I was there 7 times, and that's across the country to the eastern part of Canada. I couldn't have done that on a teacher's salary or a teacher's time. I was able to send my son to university for 1 semester in Turkey, and then to say to him, I want you to travel for the next 8 months, and I will support you to do that within reason. I couldn't have done that. You know, I couldn't have done the travel I've done with Nikan. I couldn't have had the relationships that I have developed with this fabulous concept of humans being more, because that's really the people we attract, and those are the people that really fire me up. I like myself best when I'm around Nikan people, because there's the heart, there's the passion, there's the integrity, there's the desire to really make this world shine.
You know, I love that statement you just said. I like myself better when I'm around Nikan people. And that is something that, unless we've been to an event like a convention or an expo or humans being more training, we really don't know what that's like until we've experienced that. Because what is it about Nikan people, Maggie, that causes us to like ourselves?
For me, I can just talk about what I experienced from the inside out, and maybe that's what I see reflected in other people. It's living in a world that every moment of every day I have the opportunity to make a difference. That I can connect with another human being, and I can in some way, if they are ready, I can help them find a solution in any of those 5 pillars. It doesn't always have to be the body pillar. I've got people on my team who are athletes who didn't really need the products, so they thought. So it's just exciting, because when you live in that world of possibilities, I really believe that's what we're supposed to do, and that jobs, to a large extent, are boxes that prevent us from being our full selves. So having been, you know, institutionalized, as I say, for 27 years in my teaching career, and then being able to kick the classroom doors out and the walls out, basically, and continue my passion to educate, but in the larger world, that's really juicy, and that's the way life should be.
Well, you're reaffirming everything that, oh my goodness, it just, you're going to get me started, and I'm not going to be able to stop. You said it best, being able to kick the doors open, kick the walls down, because there shouldn't be any barriers that say, well, you have to learn, and you can only learn in this institution or in this setting. Why can't we learn as we're experiencing life, as we're going out there and enjoying life, and as we're enjoying it, you know, why not? I mean, this is why I have such a, my brothers and I, we have such a passion for skiing. It's not so much because we love, you know, swishing down the slopes. It's because we're always with kids. I mean, I was in a van load. There was 12 of us, okay, yesterday, and only three adults, so nine kids, you know, 16 and under, and they love being, experiencing it, and we love even more, for us as adults, showing them different things, techniques, so they can become better and have more fun, and we just turn them loose, and, I mean, I watch my brother, and I look at myself, and I realize this is so much fun,
mm-hmm.
and that's the way life should be.
Yeah, and that's really what Niken represents to me, is just living on the edge, you know, with great people, having fun, and making a difference. What could be better?
Yeah. And do you sense that you've kind of hit a plateau, or this is just the beginning at the 17-year mark? I mean, we know that Niken is going to continue to grow and do amazing things. What is it for Maggie McKee that will continue to propel that? Because we're not getting any younger. That's obvious. That's a fact of life. But it doesn't sound like in your voice that you're slowing down.
Gosh, no. No, I have a huge desire to continue and just to slide into home base just totally spent, you know. And that's not going to happen for a long time. So I have three grandchildren right now. They're 8, 6, and almost 2. And they are the love of my life. You know, it's nothing like being a grandparent. So my vision is to take them together, and there will be a fourth one, together sometimes, but individually, my grandson, the oldest one, loves adventures. So, you know, we're already planning the countries that we'll go to together on these adventures. You know, we're probably going to start with Egypt because he's fascinated with things Egyptian right now. And, you know, we'll go wherever he wants to go. And we'll just have time, the two of us, to really experience things that most children never get a chance to experience, especially with the grandparents. So that's my vision, and it's going to be a lot of fun to be able to do that once they're a little older.
Well, and it's obviously you want them to be a little older so they can absorb and, you know, enjoy it, because dragging a dragging a five-year-old to places like Europe and, you know, going to Rome and visiting the Colosseum and explaining, I don't think there'll be a five-year-old can grasp that. Just a thought, and you would know that as an educator, you give them the time. But what an awesome opportunity to be able to do that as the grandmom.
Yeah.
Do they call you grandma or?
No, they call me Gigi.
And that's Scottish, I'm guessing.
No, it's Grandma Maggie, Gigi, right?
Sorry.
And it doesn't sound old, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like granny.
No, that's right. Yeah, I mean, you know, when our older son was 2, we left Canada and traveled for 2 years. I mean, we did work in Australia, but, you know, he traveled well, but like you say, he didn't grasp at a conscious level, at least, that experience. He remembers some things, but most things he was just a great door opener for us, because everybody was fascinated by this cute little blonde Canadian, right?
Uh-huh. No, I remember being in India with McKenna, and she was not even 3 yet. And we kept getting told, you white people don't bring your babies to India. So that's why we're so fascinated by her.
Yeah.
And yeah, you talk about a door opener. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Maggie, what would you say as kind of a final caveat to encourage wellness consultants? Some are just getting started, some have been in, you know, 5, 10 years, some, like myself, approaching the 20-year mark. What is the best thing that we can, I mean, there's so many best things, but a nugget that, if you would say, could wrap up, you know, what you're really doing and what's working for you, is there a best advice, best thing? I mean...
Well, I'd like to say a couple things. One is that keep your intention and your focus on serving, being of service to the person that's in front of you. And when we do that, several things happen. We don't experience anxiety or fear or resistance or rejection or anything, because when we're truly focused on another person and being of service, that's where the energy is, and the person feels that. And we may not be the person who brings a solution in that particular situation. However, just being in that place of love and wanting to be of service makes a difference in the world.
Okay.
Letting go of the outcome is probably the biggest thing that I've had to learn. And just being in the world in a way that is brilliant. That's our biggest contribution, I think, as wellness consultants. But the other thing is to not do this alone. Like, it took me a long time to understand the concept of the ABC and getting to big events. Once I did that, that's when my business really, really took off. My first big event, I went all the way from Prince George to Tacoma. And what really impressed me was that there was no hierarchy. I was tired of hierarchy. Everybody was in a circle. Nobody got to get up to the buffet faster because they were, you know, Royal Diamond or whatever. It felt like family, and it felt like coming home. It felt like the way we grew up on the farm, where when there's a need, everybody works together, and then, you know, when your turn is up, it's up, and people know what you need, and it's just so organic to me, the way we are designed to be in community serving the world. That's me, Ken, and it's such a privilege to be part of a whole group of people globally who get that.
Yeah, and that, you know, that goes back to something you said earlier, is that we like ourselves best when we're with Nikan people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because that sense of family, the heart language, that organic, I like that word too, because it's just natural. It should be that way. This, our world has changed and it's evolved into this thing that really isn't organic. And my wife and I were discussing this last night late, and she said, you know, I understand why, you know, Portland, Oregon has this this mantra of, you know, keep Portland weird, is because there is there's more of a natural thing that it's not that there's just so many people that are objecting to this standard of the culture that's gone a different direction. It's not natural. And, you know, whether it comes your business, your family, or whatever, but as you alluded to it before, it's really allowing people to say, hey, what area, the five pillars, you know, mind, body, family, finances, and society, which is the biggest one for you? Let's go there. Let me, you know, and if we keep our intention and focus on serving them and saying, just asking those tough questions, which I guess as a professor, you've always done that, haven't you? You've always asked questions.
Well, I'm an inquisitive being.
Oh, Maggie, this has been a true delight for me to have you share, and I know it's been beneficial for those who are listening. And if you have somebody, maybe a teacher, maybe a professor, a friend that you think might relate to Maggie's story, and they weren't on the line, quite simply, the website to catch the recording is www.saturdayamlive.com. That's www.saturdayamlive.com. And give Steve a couple hours to get the recording up, and just scroll down until you see Maggie's name in bold red print and a little bio about her, and then just click, and there you go. So, and Maggie, if you want to hear yourself, or you can hear me if you really want to hear me again, because, you know, no, I'm just kidding. we would not want to do that. I go back and listen to some of these recordings from time to time, and I'm going, man, did I really say that? Yes, I did. But that's because I'm around kids all the time, and I have to do shock factor just to keep them focused in. Not so much our youngest, but our middle child, 10, she just has a weird, different way of thinking, and not sure why. Maybe it's because of her father. But Maggie, thank you again for altering your sleeping schedule. How did you say that again? You like to get up when you're done sleeping?
And finish sleeping.
When you're finished sleeping, yeah. And unfortunately for me, that's about 5:30, 5:45 every morning, and I don't know why. I wish it weren't so, but I guess that's when my body's done sleeping. But I do go to bed about 10:15, 10:30 every night, so I guess 7.5 hours is par for the course. So anyways, thank you again, Maggie. I will bid you farewell and let you get into your day, and now that you have more of it. because you got up early.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to be on the call, Vance. I really appreciate that.
All right. Okay, thanks everyone else for joining on the line. I do have a couple quick announcements if you want to hang tight, but I'm going to bid you all farewell. And until next week, have a great weekend. And don't forget to set those clocks forward. Yeah, I know. You just breathe the frustration moan out on that one because nobody wants to do that. But I look forward to chatting with you next Saturday, everybody. Bye-bye for now.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.